It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Well, we didn't see a new iPad or iPhone come out of Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference this week. There was a big reveal of a sort. I'm talking about Apple's new programming language, Swift, which will apparently make developing apps easier. But could it also mean much more competition among those who want to hit it big in the App Store? Bailing Yin is a researcher at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research who's been thinking about this. Hey, Bailing.
Hi, how are you, Ben?
I'm good. Swift. It's a programming language for app developers?
That's right. So this is a programming language that makes it much more intuitive. There's a lot less need to understand complex code in order to program, let's say, mobile apps. And the idea here is then, you know, it could be a programming language that actually appeals to people who currently aren't developers but would like to try their hand at innovating and developing a new app, and this would make it easier for them to do that.
That's a really interesting idea, that what Swift might do is lower the bar for being an app developer.
The big challenge, though, is that even if you draw in more entry into the app market, the app stores are so cluttered that it's very difficult for any developer, even with a very good new app, to get their app noticed out of all the apps that are available.
It seems like a common result to the democratization of any sort of art form like this. Now that it's so cheap and easy to make a record, it's also really hard to sort of get noticed and become successful, right?
That's right. I think that, you know, one of the great things about these platform systems is that they do bring in a lot of entry, so there's an explosion of innovation and creativity. Unfortunately, they hold the seeds of their own destruction in some sense, in that a lot of people can get discouraged when they realize something great that they've created just is unable to become visible. So I think that's the next problem that Apple needs to solve.
Bailing Yin is a researcher at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research. Bailing, thank you very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
Remember the Heartbleed security bug that impacted encryption and the SSL protocol? Well, researchers are saying we may have yet another security hole that will need patching all over the internet. This one is vulnerable to so-called middleman attacks from hackers on the same network as you. So maybe take a few days off from public Wi-Fi until things get patched up. It's Friday, and today our guest is Jenna Wortham, technology reporter at the New York Times. Jenna, are you ready to play Silicon Tally, the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
Ready to go.
All right. 30 years.
The amount of time a person could spend looking through Netflix for something to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
You know my evenings well. It's actually, today is the 30th anniversary of Tetris. You ever play Tetris?
Yeah, I mean, I used to play it on my Game Boy, and there was something very satisfying about when you had a match and the kind of streak of light that would go across the bottom.
The best.
I mean, it was a proto Candy Crush, if you think about it. There's just something so satisfying about making those matches.
Well played. All right, you got something for me?
Okay. 2.8 million.
Dollars?
Followers.
Oh, followers.
Followers.
I got nothing.
Okay, so I'm obsessed with Oprah on Instagram, and she has 2.8 million followers. And I think we all kind of love watching Oprah, you know, talk about her chai and talk about the things she's harvested or cooked for Stedman. And it's just full of charming typos, and it makes me love her even more.
I like the idea of, like, Oprah harvesting.
Yeah, and it's never clear if it's her garden or did she go to a farmer's market. And it's just basically her licking euphoric, holding tomatoes. And, you know, the classic picture is, like, her holding a tomato. And the caption says, "Don't you just love it when a tomato is real?" It's like, what does that mean?
All right. I got another one for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Three dimensions.
Is this in regards to the Amazon smartphone?
Holler! As you know, the Amazon smartphone that could be released later this month supposedly has a 3D-capable display, which I guess means that you could almost feel like Oprah's tomato was real.
Yeah.
All right, you got something for me?
5.5 inches.
5.5 inches is how long we think the Amazon phone might be?
That's close.
I don't know.
No, that's close.
Okay.
So 5.5 inches is what the rumor mill has agreed upon the next iPhone, you know, screen size will be.
Who puts the ruler up to the iPhone?
Right.
Do you care? Are you like, oh, this 5.5 inch screen is so much better?
I don't care, but I am kind of like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I do so much on my phone now. And I mean, imagine, you know, watching a GIF on that screen or the next Beyonce YouTube video. Like, I want to see it. I want that screen. Give me the screen size. So if everybody had one,
it'd be cool.
It'd be cooler.
Jenna Wortham is a technology reporter for The New York Times. Jenna, thanks for playing along.
Thank you for having me.
Don't forget there's a special version of Silicon Tally for listeners to play. Check that out and much more at marketplacetech.org. And one more thing before we go. If you're going to a wedding this weekend, here's something to mull over between dinner and cake. ABC News reports that attorneys are now adding a social media element to prenuptial agreements, as in you will not post any unflattering photos of me on Instagram unless you're ready to pay up. Until Facebook do us part, man, oh man. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.